Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thus, Maharaj Khatwanga, by his advanced intelligence, in rendering service to the Lord, gave up false identification with the body full of ignorance. In his original position of eternal servitorship, he engaged himself in rendering service to the Lord. Purport. When one actually becomes purely Krishna conscious, no one has any right to rule over him. When situated in Krishna consciousness, one is no longer in the darkness of ignorance. And when freed from all such darkness, one is situated in his original position. Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishnir Nityadas. The living entity is eternally the servant of the Lord. And thus, when he engages himself in the service of the Lord in all respects, he enjoys the perfection of life. Please repeat the translation. Thus, Maharaj Khatwanga, by his advanced intelligence, in rendering service to the Lord, gave up false identification with the body full of ignorance. In his original position of eternal servitorship, he engaged himself in rendering service to the Lord. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagandarakunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagandalalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We are reading now the episode of King Khatwanga perfecting his life. By surrendering to Krishna, at the very last moment, when he had very short notice about the remaining part of his life. Srila Prabhupada, in his talks and purports, often quotes the example of King Khatwanga to indicate how we should be willing and prepared to leave this world at any time. We should be ready like King Khatwanga was. If we are told, you have one moment to die, we should be ready. Yes, I'm ready. That's the story. That's the moral of the story. Not that we will get flustered and become very agitated and disturbed and spend those valuable last moments in lamentation and worry instead of thinking about Krishna. And King Khatvanga had a lot to lose from a material point of view. He was not an ordinary person of this world. He was a great king, and he was so powerful and famous throughout the universe that when the demigods were in trouble in their battle against the demons, they actually called King Khatvanga to come and help them. And because he was so powerful and valorous, he helped the demigods defeat the demons. That was how powerful he was. He went to the heavenly planets from earth to fight their battle. And at the end of it, the demigods, being very pleased with him, asked him for a benediction. He could have asked for any material benediction, and they would have happily given it to him. But King Khatvanga was a devotee, so he wasn't interested in any material benediction. So he said, "All I want to know is how much time do I have left in this lifetime, because I want to serve Krishna." He didn't want to get entangled in any further battles and any material affairs. And they said, "You have a moment." Actually, the word is muhurta. Srila Prabhupada translates it sometimes as a moment, meaning that a very short amount of time. Or you could take that as a moment in the planet of the demigods. But we shouldn't take that, literally speaking, as a moment from the earthly point of view, because 1 second is gone. But we see that King Khatvanga here is speaking many verses as he contemplates his position at the very end of his life. So this kind of contemplation and reciting many verses is not possible in 1 second. So we can understand that this has a meaning that it's a very short time. Actually speaking, the word muhurta, in according to the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literature, indicates a certain time period of 48 minutes. And half of that is one danda, 24 minutes. So there are various divisions of time that are mentioned in the scriptures. Therefore we have this phrase, Brahma Muhurta. Does anyone know exactly what is the time of Brahma Muhurta? What does Brahma Muhurta mean? Yeah. Well, not exactly. What is the real definition? Hour and a half. Can you be more specific? Yeah. Sorry? Very good. 96 minutes before the time that starts 96 minutes before sunrise and ends 48 minutes before sunrise. That means the 48 minutes that precedes the 48 minutes prior to sunrise is called the Brahma Muhurta, because Muhurta is a duration of 48 minutes. So the second last Muhurta before sunrise, that time duration is called the Brahma Muhurta. That's the time one is supposed to rise and shine in Krishna's service by coming in the morning, chanting the holy names, taking darshan of the Lord. And the reason we chant the Gurvashtaka prayer, the glorification of the spiritual master, Mangal Arati, you may have wondered sometime, why do we chant? Why did Prabhupada say this, that we should chant the Gurvashtakam in the morning at Brahma Muhurta? Because Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that by glorifying, when he talks about the Gurvashtaka, he says that whoever recites this in the Brahma Muhurta time is sure to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So that's the reason Prabhupada instituted this in our movement as part of the Mangal Arati program. So anyway, that is Muhurta. So we can understand that King Khatvanga had very short time left. So whether we take it literally as 48 minutes of earthly time, or whether we take it as 1 second of the heavenly time, We understand the expression that he had very, very little time left. And incidentally, even though this appears in the ninth canto, the ninth chapter, King Khatvanga is mentioned by Shukadev Goswami right in the very beginning of his talk to Parikshit Maharaj. As you know, even though the Srimad Bhagavatam begins from the very first canto itself, but Shukadev Goswami doesn't begin speaking till the second canto. It is only at the end of the first canto that we see King Parikshit, having been cursed, comes to the bank of the Ganga, and many sages assemble there, and messages go everywhere, text messages and WhatsApp messages go all over the universe, and the sages gather from everywhere and they come rushing through the skyways and through different other means of celestial transportation. They come there. They're eager to see, because they know something very historic and monumental is going to happen. The Srimad Bhagavatam is going to be spoken. So they all gather there. So Parikshit Maharaj arrives and he asks the sages the question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? What should he hear about? What should he chant about? Whom should he worship? And so on. And there are conflicting answers, and King Parikshit isn't satisfied. And just at that time, Shukadev Goswami arrives on the scene. And at this dramatic setting, the first canto concludes. And then in the second canto, Shukadev Goswami begins speaking. And he gets to the point right away, doesn't beat around the bush. He says that the duty of anyone, what to speak of a person who's about to die when the matter becomes even more urgent, but the duty of anyone at any time is to always hear and chant and remember Krishna. Remember Krishna's messages, glories, names, etc. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvara Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Chechatabhayam. Anyone who wants to be free from fear has to constantly hear about, chant about, remember and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as he speaks about this process of hearing and chanting, he continues the theme. And then he comes to the point of death and he says, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janmalabha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smritihi. The perfection of life for any human being is not that he analytically analyzes this world very perfectly, or he attains some mystic perfections, or that he performs his material duties according to Varnashrama Dharma perfectly. That's not the perfection. The perfection of life is Ante Narayana Smritihi. Ante means at the end. Smritihi means to remember. Narayana is Krishna. So the perfection of life is to remember Krishna at the time of death. And then he says, Etan nirvidyamananam icchatamakato bhayam yoginam rupanirnitam hare namanukirtanam. Then he comes to the point of chanting the holy name. The process of chanting the holy name is meant for everyone. Even if one is completely detached from all material desires, nirvidyamananam, or if one is icchatam, full of material desires, or if one is self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge, yoginam. So the ascertained conclusion, my dear king, Shukadev Goswami says, is that for all classes of people of different mentalities, everyone must engage in Harir Namanu Kirtanam, in the chanting, the constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And then he gives the example of King Khatvanga. He says, King Khatvanga was fighting on behalf of the demigods and he had only one moment left to live. And then he surrendered his life to Krishna and perfected his life. He remembered Krishna very deeply with devotion and went back to Godhead. King Khatvanga had only one moment, Maharaj Parikshit, but you have 7 days. Then he goes on to tell him that King Khatvanga had a very short period, a notice period, but you have 7 full days. So now you must prepare yourself to constantly remember Krishna and to think of him as you leave your body 7 days from now. King Parikshit, of course, was already a pure devotee. And so was Shukadev Goswami. But now he was playing the role of a spiritual master. Parikshit Maharaj was playing the role of the disciple. So a very important concern. King Khatvanga had very little notice. King Parikshit had some notice. Do we have notice? What do you think? When were we given up? Were we handed a notice? You know, legal notices, those of you who have had the misfortune of going through these legal cases, you serve legal notices by somebody who doesn't like you. They serve you a legal notice that you have to come to court, you have to answer for this. So Parikshit Maharaj was served his notice by the curse of Sringi. 7 days and that's it. Then you leave. King Khatvanga was also served his notice. You have one muhurta left. What about us? Have we been served a notice?
Yes.
Yes? When? Yeah. So, what does it mean?
It means that time of birth, death is already.
That's right. Excellent. So, appropriate that our temple president should inform us about this. He's warning us to become Krishna conscious soon. So our notice comes at the time of birth. Vasudeva also speaks to Kamsa and says the same thing. Mrityu janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate. He says, Kamsa, death is already born with birth. So the moment you are born, death is born. In other words, you get the notice. Right there, the moment you are born, it's a notice that this body is going to end, so death is going to come. So beware, prepare yourself for death. We don't want to sound too pessimistic and, you know, doomsy. Sometimes people ask you, people are so negative and so pessimistic. I've attended some of your classes, but you talk about death and doom and, you know, preparing for death. Why don't you talk of something more positive? I said, like what? Like birth, disease, old age, or, you know, tsunamis, or terrorism, or crime, you know, what should we talk about? So we should face the reality. The reality of this world is unpleasant. The ultimate reality, real reality, not the virtual reality. Now everybody lives in a virtual world, yes? And even outside, it's a virtual world. Vastavam atra vastu. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with a really real phenomenon, not with the falsely real things. So vastavam atra vastu. The vastu refers to that which actually exists. Vast means to reside. That which resides always, exists always. So therefore, the moment we are born, we are given notice. Yes, you have to die. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So Shukadev Goswami mentions Parikshit Maharaj, mentions King Khatvanga right at the very beginning of his teachings to Parikshit Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada quotes him often as an example of complete surrender. That one doesn't need to be academically qualified to perfect one's life or to understand Vedic knowledge. And then Prabhupada says, look at the example of King Khatvanga. In just a moment, he surrendered himself to Krishna and perfected his life. It's interesting that in the very first line of the purport to this verse here, Srila Prabhupada mentions, when one actually becomes purely Krishna conscious, no one has any right to rule over him. Just see the irony. Our nature is we don't want anyone to rule over us. Right? That's the conditioned nature. We want to rule over everybody else. So that's the conditioned mentality. But the more we try to rule over others and not want to be ruled by others, the actual opposite happens. We become subject to become ruled by others, and we fail in our efforts to rule over others. But lo and behold, if you give up the desire to rule over others, and you subject yourself to the rule of Krishna and his devotees, then you become qualified and eligible to not be ruled over by anybody. But of course, we don't do it with that calculation. So the way to become free is to submit to bondage, to the bondage in transcendence, in divine bondage, in loving bondage to the lotus feet of Krishna. When we submit ourselves and say, Tava Asmi, I am yours, my Lord, at that time we become free from the shackles of material existence. Whereas if we resist surrendering to Krishna, then we become more and more bound in the stringent laws of material nature. So in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the nine Yogendras speaking to King Nimi. And they say, Devarshir bhutapta ninam pitrinam na kinkaro nayam vrinicha rajan sarvatmana yah sharanam sharanyam gato mukunda parihritya kartam. The nine Yogendras tell Maharaj Nimi, sarvatmana yah sharanam sharanyam. For a person who completely surrenders to the most worthy object of surrender, that is Mukunda or Krishna, with his full heart, with his full mind, giving up all material duties, parihritya kartam, such a person becomes free from all obligations. Na kinkara, he is not obliged to be anybody's servant. Nayam charini, neither does he have any rina or obligation or debt to anyone. Normally, when we are born, we have six kinds of debts or obligations. Or we have obligations to six categories of people in this world, or living entities. Deva, the demigods, because they supply us with all the necessities of life in terms of heat, light, water, and so on and so forth. Rishi, the sages, because they have given us transcendental knowledge. Bhuta, not Bhuta also means ghosts, but we are not talking ghosts here. Bhuta also means living entities. We are obliged and dependent on so many living entities, even the bacteria. And then there's apta, we have friends and relatives. Then there is ninam, the human beings in general. And Pitrinam, our forefathers, because without them we wouldn't be here today in this body. So these are the six categories of people to whom we are obliged. We are indebted to them. And therefore the Vedic scriptures speak about how we should discharge our debt to these six categories of living entities by performing various kinds of ceremonies and activities and so on. So for the Pitris or the forefathers, you have to perform Shraddha periodically and so on and so forth. But when one surrenders to Krishna wholeheartedly and accepts the principle of surrender completely, then one is no longer obliged to do these things. One becomes free, completely free. But again, A further irony is that having become completely free and not being obliged to anyone, the pure devotee of the Lord considers himself or herself to actually be servants of everyone. So the pure devotee will want to serve all living entities, including the most insignificant living entities. The pure devotee will never consider himself or herself to be the Lord and Master of everyone and anyone. Even though no one has a right to rule over the pure devotee, but the pure devotee doesn't think like that. The pure devotee thinks that I want to submit myself to the pure to the other devotees and to Krishna. In fact, that is even Krishna's thinking, because Krishna likes to submit himself to the control of his devotees. So this verse further says that in his original position of eternal servitorship, he engaged himself in rendering service to the Lord. And Prabhupada quotes the famous Jivira Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Does anyone remember the second line of the verse? Yes, Kavinda. So let's say that again. Jivera Tatastha Shakti? Krishna Tatastha Shakti. Veda Veda Prakash, that's right. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. So the Swarupa, or the constitutional position of the Jiva, is that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Krishnera Tatastha Shakti. He is the marginal energy of Krishna. Bhed Abhed Prakash. And he is a manifestation of that Tatastha Shakti, that marginal energy. He is simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. That is the nature of the Jiva. And this is the beginning of the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Mahaprabhu then further goes on to explain how the Jiva is like an atomic spark, or like a atomic particle of the sunshine, and Krishna is like the mighty sun. So therefore, constitutionally, we are all servants of Krishna, and to be situated in a position of servitude, however unpleasant such a prospect may seem in our conditioned state, where we don't want to serve anyone, where we want to lord over everyone and everything. But this actually is our constitutional position. It is the only situation in which we can actually be happy. Therefore, what to speak of sense enjoyment, which is an exhibition of our intention to lord over material nature, pure devotees of the Lord do not even want liberation from material existence and merging into the impersonal Brahman. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see this verse of Hanuman, who is a great devotee and servant of Lord Ramachandra, who says he doesn't even want liberation. By liberation here we mean merging into the impersonal Brahman. He prays to Lord Ramachandra and says, Bhava bandha chidhe tasyai sprihayami na muktaye bhavan prabhur aham dasah iti yatra vilupyate. He says, my dear Lord, Bhava bandha chidhe tasyai sprihayami na muktaye. I do not desire liberation from material existence and merging into your impersonal feature. Why not? Because Bhavan Prabhu, because you being my Lord, Aham Dasaha, I being your servant, this mentality will not remain. If I merge into the impersonal effulgence, then the spirit of servitude towards you is lost. Because one who merges into the impersonal thinks that I am also the Absolute. I am that. Soham. So we lose that spirit of servitude. So Hanuman says, I don't want that. I want to be eternally your servant. I remember a little joke that I had heard many years ago from one devotee. It's a little story, kind of a joke. a little humorous story. One time there was a devotee who was walking along. He was from the manor and he was walking and he happened to meet a Mayavadi. And because his devotee was from the manor and also from Soho, so he was constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. He was chanting Sankirtan walking along. So then there was this Mayavadi who saw him. He said, "Hey, what are you doing here? Chanting holy name of Krishna. Don't you know that you are the supreme? You are the ultimate. So you should chant Soham. Soham Saha Aham. I am He." It means I am the supreme. So just chant. Forget all this chanting of Hare Krishna. Just chant Soham, 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 Soham. It can actually be mesmerizing, you know, it can be hypnotizing. You chant Soham, Soham, which sounds very spiritual and, you know, very attractive. And so this, he was an innocent devotee, although, you know, so he was a new devotee. So he started chanting Soham, Soham, Soham. And then he came to the temple and then the devotee saw him and said, "What are you doing? What are you chanting? Soham, Soham. You're not the Lord, you're the servant. So you should chant, okay, just add a da before that." So what does it become? Dasoham, dasoham, dasoham. Das means servant. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whenever he would end his letters or he would speak, conclude his conversations with people, he would say dasosmi or dasoham, that I am your servant. So then this devotee told him, "Don't say soham, just add a da, it becomes dasoham." So it means, "I am the servant." So then he was going back, the devotee, he once again bumped into this Mayavadi. He said, "This is really blasphemous, what are you chanting? Dasoham, dasoham. You are not the servant, you are the whole, you are the supreme. Anyway, just add a sa before that." So what does it become? Sada soham. Sada means always. Sada soham. Sada soham. Sada soham. I am always He. I am always a supreme. I am always a supreme. So he was shuttling between the Soho and manor. So once again reached the manor. And then the devotees just saw him saying, "Sada soham. Sada soham. What are you chanting? That's not right. Okay, anyway, just add a da before that." What does it become? Daso dasoham, daso dasoham, daso. I am the servant of the servant, I am the servant of the servant. That's what you are, that's who you are. So then that devotee was convinced. He said, "Yes, I should be like Maharaj Khatwanga. Tatasvam bhava mastitaha. And I should regain my constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna." Is there any question or comment?